I love that one. Mark Ronson featuring Miley Cyrus, Nothing Breaks Like a Heart. Speaking of a heart, that was unplanned.
That's right.
Yeah, we've got a cardiologist in the house. Dr. Lim Chun Pin, cardiologist from Mount Elizabeth Hospital, and doctors in the house.
Yay!
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Dr. Lim, since you're a cardiologist, I have to ask, do you have a favorite song about the hearts?
The hearts?
Do you like Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue?
Unfortunately, I'm not too familiar with that song.
Jason, yeah. I told him to make him at ease, but I think now you've made him more nervous.
Maybe Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Right.
That's a better one.
That sounds more familiar.
There you go.
So, Dr. Lim, we have some questions here. I'm going to just jump right into our questions from KISS fans, just in case we don't have any time, and I think they're important. Mm. So, there's one from Amanda, and I think many of us get this because my mom is exactly the same. Moms, they sometimes get, you know, nervous.
Panicky.
And then anxiety. And then they have heart palpitations. So Amanda is saying, is there something to be concerned of? I mean, she's 56 years old and she gets heart palpitations sometimes. And I'm sure you get a lot of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, palpitations can happen pretty commonly. Palpitations can be a result of palpitations is actually a enhanced or heightened sensation of a heartbeat. So it can be because of a normal heartbeat that is felt more prominently, and it is probably the most common cause of palpitations. It can be because of nervousness, because of fever, because of medical conditions such as a thyroid problem or lack of blood flow, lack of red blood cells.
So many things could cause it.
So many causes.
Right.
But there are also heart conditions that present with palpitations. We actually really need an electrocardiogram or ECG when that happens to make the firm diagnosis.
Okay.
But most of the time, if a palpitations occurs like just one misbeat, and if it's not associated with dizziness or fainting, it's usually not too concerning.
Right.
But if you're worried if it's associated with dizziness or fainting spells, do please go and see a cardiologist.
Because here's the thing with moms, and I go through that, is that they'll have heart palpitations, they go to the doctor, and then they do an ECG, doctor says they're fine. Then they get the heart palpitation again, because obviously they still suffer from anxiety and panic attacks.
Yeah.
And then they go back for another ECG, like another 6 months, which is not really necessary, right?
Yes. So, most often it is not necessary. Most often the palpitations are benign. But it would be good to let a doctor assess whether there may be other problems such as stress or such as underlying anxiety. But very often we will need some cardiac test to make sure there is no underlying cardiac condition. So very simple tests that we often do include an ultrasound study of the heart, which is called an echocardiogram. We may also do a treadmill stress test to see if we could trigger off this abnormal rhythm. Last but not least, in some patients, we may do a 24-hour monitoring just to check that there aren't those abnormal heartbeats. But I would say 90% of the palpitations is usually very benign and nothing to really.
I'm bringing my mom to see you then.
Yeah. Actually, I got a question about my son, Maddie, because you know, doctor, when my son goes running or exercises a lot, he tends to get a sharp pain in his chest. And I think this is quite common. But what I want to know is, is it dangerous to exercise too much? And is what he's experiencing something that should be looked over by a doctor like yourself?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, that's right. It's pretty common symptom that I see in my clinic.
Like sharp pains in the chest?
Yes.
We've got a question here too as well.
Yes.
Yep.
So I think the safe way is, the conservative way is that we should never ignore a chest pain.
Right.
Especially when it happens during exertion or during exercise.
Really?
But if the pain goes away with rest and if it is very short-lived, then most of the time, it's probably nothing to really worry about.
What do you think it is?
Yeah, why does that happen?
Okay. Yeah.
So there are many different causes of chest pain that may mimic a heart attack or a heart pain. Because our stomach is also near this area. So, if we had a gastric reflux or peptic ulcer disease, it could manifest as that. There are also other things such as muscles and cartilage.
It could be like a muscle strain.
It could be a muscle strain. And that's probably the most common cause, especially in young patients. patients with no risk factors,
right,
that's most likely.
Yeah, because oftentimes he'll just stop running because he's like, my chest started to hurt, and it's like a bit scary, you know?
So we have more questions coming in at via our SMS 97170920. Also some coming in from Facebook Live at Kiss92 FM.
Yeah.
So we're going to come back with more from Dr. Lim Chun Pin, cardiologist from Mount Elizabeth Hospital, where we're doing Doctors in the House right now on Kiss92.
Kiss92.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Maddie and Jason.
Maroon 5, Love Somebody, 8:30. Wow, we're really getting our money's worth.
If you've been missing our Facebook Live, man, you've been really missing out. We've given out some great information, man.
Yep, because it's Doctors in the House right now on Kiss92, and we're doing something different today. We have Dr. Lim Chun Pin, cardiologist from Mount Elizabeth Hospital. He's live in the studio and answering your questions on Facebook and also via our SMS. You all right, Doc? You need a coffee, a break?
I'm fine so far.
I think to answer all the questions, you're going to have to stay here till like 10, Doc. Is that okay with you?
I think so.
I've got to push back some of my appointments.
Yeah, I think so.
Shift around
too.
Your schedule.
Free consult on Kiss92. Yeah. All right, so earlier on, we asked you a question from Jacqueline. She says that her dad has a heart condition, had a quadruple bypass last year. The doctor says that the surgery only lasts for a maximum of 10 years, meaning that he won't live beyond 10 years. Like, what does that mean?
No, actually.
And is that true?
No, actually, what the doctor means is that the bypass graft may last on average of about 10 years. So what the doctor does during a bypass operation is that we will use either a vein from the leg or an artery from the arm or an artery from the chest. And we use these grafts, these blood vessels, to bypass the blockages within the heart. Now, on average, the vein graft from the leg lasts for about 10 years before they become blocked. The artery from the arm tends to last for an average of about 15 years before they get blocked, while the artery from the chest tends to last about 20 years.
Right.
So if a person were to take good care of himself, have a good blood sugar, blood pressure, blood cholesterol control, does regular exercises, it's a healthy diet, it could last well beyond 10 years. It could be 15, 20 years. Yeah.
Okay, I hope that answers your question, because Jacqueline is saying that her dad has been living and eating very healthily ever since.
It's highly possible.
So it could last beyond 10 years.
That's good news.
This is a question a lot of young people are asking. There's a lot of hype on the keto diet, I'm sure you know. This is the one where you eat like a very high-fat diet and low-carb diet, like high-fat, high-protein, right? Could the diet clog up our arteries despite having a weight loss effect?
Right. So I think this diet or this fad is pretty recent, and we do not have the long-term data from this study yet, from this kind of diet. So we still need further follow-ups to know the long-term effects of this kind of a diet.
Eating just fat doesn't seem healthy to me somehow. No, it just sounds wrong, right?
Yeah. So intuitively, it doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right.
So I do not advocate this, and neither does the most of the other cardiac associations internationally.
Right.
We generally still recommend people to reduce the fats, especially those saturated fats from animal fats, trans fats from deep fried food. Yes, these are the most unhealthy fats that we really shouldn't be taking much of.
Because moderation is key, and it's a bit of common sense, right? When your diet is full of protein and fat, like, it just can't be good.
Yeah,
you know what I want to know, Maddie? How often should I check my heart, doctor? And what type of heart screening should I do? Like, on a regular basis?
Yes. So, well, we generally recommend people to start early in terms of cardiac screening. So when we are above 18 years old, we generally recommend people to undergo cardiovascular risk factor checks.
Oh.
So simple tests like every 3 to 5 years to check your blood pressure, blood cholesterol, as well as your body weight, which is your BMI, because if a body mass index of above 23 for our Asians is associated with increased cardiovascular.
Can Caucasians have a higher body mass?
Yes, you are allowed up to 25, a BMI of 25.
Actually, I think I'm right at 24, so I made it under the line.
So you're just right. Yeah, you're just right. Yeah.
Pushing the boundaries.
Good. So we also recommend people to go for regular checks for their blood sugars as well to detect diabetes early, because diabetes can...
And in Singapore, it's a huge problem, right?
Yes,
diabetes.
It is a big problem, and our Ministry of Health has declared a war on diabetes. Yeah. So we should really watch out for this.
But then as you get older, I imagine you have to be even more careful and more concerned, right?
Yes. So if you're above 45 years old for men or above 55 years old for females, if you were to planning to start on a vigorous exercise, we would generally recommend people to go for a treadmill screening as well,
right,
to assess the heart.
Got a question about treadmill, you know, really how accurate is it running on the treadmill and determining like your heart condition?
Yes. So a treadmill test is unfortunately not a foolproof test, but it is cheap, it is accessible, it is easy to administer. So it is commonly used as a screening tool. We generally say the treadmill is about 70 to 80% accurate.
Meaning, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So it's pretty good for a patient with low risk factors. And if you have a negative treadmill, it's a pretty accurate test. So the problem is that in 20% of the patients, they may have what we call a false positive test. Meaning you don't have a heart condition, but the treadmill becomes positive anyway.
Right.
And then it ends up leading to other further tests.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like on balance, you'd say it's better to exercise than not to exercise for your heart.
Yes.
Like it's riskier to not exercise, generally speaking.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah,
yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, so that's all the time we have.
Maddie. Why? We've got so many questions.
Excuse me. He's a doctor. He's very busy. He actually has patients waiting for him at his clinic.
They can wait.
So just make an appointment.
You're a doctor. Patients are used to waiting.
No, you make an appointment with Dr. Lim Chun Pin, okay? You can do it via WhatsApp, so it's real easy. 8111777, or you log on to mountelizabeth.com.sg. We will answer a last few questions off air on Facebook Live, so get on it right now at Kiss92 FM. Thank you so much, Doc.
Yay. Thank you very much.
We should do this more often. Sure. You know, put the doctors on the spot, free consult on Kiss92. Doctors in the house every Wednesday.
You've probably lost tens of thousands of dollars just with this one interview.
It's worth it.
Wake up now. Maddie and Jason. Wake up now. Kiss 92.